This is the time of year where, personally, we try not to think about growth in some ways because of Thanksgiving and Christmas and all the holidays and all of the fruit baskets and gift baskets and just all of the candy, all the pie, all of the just the really good food. So we try not to think about growth, maybe physically, for ourselves. But, you know, having a son who's now just 9 months, when we go to the doctor's office, we're always asking about growth. Is he as tall as he should be? Does he weigh what he should? What can we do so that he gets taller? And the doctor even sort of said, well, that's a good question. And she was acting like she had a good answer for it. And so we were waiting with great anticipation of what she was going to say. Because if you look at Amanda and I mean, we're both, you know, not the same height. And I kind of wanted him to be a little taller. So I was sort of really listening. Wasn't sure whose genes he was going to get. So the doctor said, well, you just want to make sure that they get plenty of rest and that they stay well fed. So, okay, is that it? I can remember that. I didn't even have to write that down. But that's it. Get plenty of rest, stay well fed. Well, as we think about ourselves growing spiritually, that sort of applies to us. You know, we eat right, get plenty of rest. You know, that's going to help us to grow in our spiritual lives as well. But in looking back at the passage that we read earlier in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 6 and 7, our spiritual life doesn't necessarily grow just like that. It's not just a matter of eating right and getting plenty of rest, but God causes this growth in us. But that brings us to sort of the question that we all need to reflect on. What part is my responsibility? If the growth is solely dependent upon God, and that's what Paul alludes to, because in this passage, he's trying not to take any credit at all. He's trying to humbly say, as a matter of fact, what has happened. That he planted the seed. He planted the seed of the gospel. He planted this spiritual life within you, this seed within them. And that Apollos watered it. But God gave the increase. God is the one who made it grow. So he's saying, and this is where that humility comes in. He said, so neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything but God. But only God who makes things grow. The man who plants and the man who waters have one purpose, and each will be rewarded according to his labor. For we are God's fellow workers, you are God's field, you are God's building. So when we talk about growth of our faith, we talk about growth in our relationship with God, maturing in Christ, what part am I responsible for? We see here that God is the one who gives the increase. God is the one who causes things to grow. But it comes back to that question, what am I responsible for? What part is it that I need to do to put myself in a position where there can be, where God can give increase in my life? Increase in faith, increase in a relationship with Him, a maturity within Him. And I think that there's three areas in which we must address in our lives. Number one, we must be focusing on Christ. There's so much in the world today that distracts us. Whether it's driving distracted, whether it's at work, whether it's in our social life, whether it's whether we see it as two people out at a restaurant and they're texting and they're not, they appear to be on a date, but they're really not associating with one another other than just sitting at the same table. But they're so distracted. They're so distracted by so many things of this world. Whether that's the technology, whether that's just the busyness of life, school, work, whether it's some relationship or sports, maybe it's some video game, maybe it's family stuff, maybe it's family drama. Something is distracting us. Something is affecting what we're keeping our eyes on, what we're keeping our mind on, and what we're keeping our heart on. Our heart on. So how distracted am I? And you have to ask yourself that question. In Colossians chapter 3, this passage where Paul says where our focus needs to be. Colossians 3, verses 1 through 4, he says, "Since then you've been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with Him in glory." Setting your hearts, setting your minds. And even the Hebrews passage, Hebrews 12, verses 1 and 2, talks about fixing our eyes. "Therefore, since we've been surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run the race with perseverance marked out for us." Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. "For the joy set before Him, He endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God." We must be focusing on Christ. Because if we're not focusing on Christ, how can there be growth in our lives? How can we grow in our faith? How can we grow in our relationship with God? How can we be maturing in Christ? This idea of focus. I couldn't help but think about, there was a friend of mine who was really good friends with another guy, and I got to meet him. I was back in college, so I don't remember his name. Forgive me for that. But he was a young man, and he was a marketing major, and got a job with Wrigley's Gum. It was a huge company. And in spending 5 minutes turned into about 20 minutes, turned into what felt like forever in a conversation with this young college student or recent graduate. And one of the things that I really connected with him was that he was living a ministry in his life. His life was no longer about his job. His life was about using his job so that he could be a light, that he could be influencing other people, that he could be that lens in which other people in the world would interact with Jesus Christ. And that's how he thought. That's how he lived his life. And so when we think about focus, and we think about, you know, using things to something to come into focus, whether that's our glasses or whether that's a magnifying glass or whether that's a telescope, we're using that so we can see something on the other side. But this idea of focus, we need to be not just looking through this lens, but we need to be the lens. We need to be the lens so that when the world, when people in the world have this interaction with us, that they're looking through us and they're seeing who God wants us to see. They're seeing who God wants them to see. He's wanting them to see Jesus. And we have to be that lens. And we cannot be that lens. We cannot have that growth of faith, we cannot have that relationship with God, we cannot be maturing in Christ if our focus is on something else, is on worldly things, is on something that's just the drama that's in our lives. If that's it, then the people who interact with us, the people who see us, who watch us at work, who have conversations with us over the lunch hour, or who see us in the mall with our family, those instances and those snapshots and those engagements then become the focus in which they interact with whatever we're focusing on in our lives. And so if that's worldliness, or if that's sin, then that's what they're going to see. We're not going to have that reflection. We're not going to be that lens in which they can, that engagement can look through us and be through us and that connection with Christ. And you may be saying, well, that's not my gift. My gift is not interacting with people. That's really hard and difficult for me to do. Well, that may be true for you, but there's still this mode in which people see you. There's still a mode in which people interact with you. And there's still a mode in which you're reflecting Christ and His love. So for us to put ourselves to fully receive God's increase, we must be focusing on Christ. The second thing, we must be committed to God. And that sounds kind of like, well, yeah, that's just kind of, I don't even know why you need to say that. But think of it like this. There's a new movie coming out. I think it's this next week sometime. Have you guys heard about it? It's Star Wars. Right? You guys have heard about that, right? Well, some of you are like, yeah, I stood in line the first time it came out in 1978. All right, that's good. You've got a lot on these guys, because these guys would be pretty jealous of that. But there are people that have already started to get in line out in California. They've started to get in line. I think this was last week they started getting in line. Started getting in line so they could be sort of they could pick their seat inside the theater so they could see it for the very first time. And this idea of this line of people. So you think about the commitment that the person who is going to be the first in line, because they're sort of playing this waiting game with, should I go today? It's July 2nd. Do you think anyone, this might be a little early. I'm going to hold off. Maybe after Thanksgiving I'll start. Well, you get this idea that when that first person gets in line and the line begins to form, this line starts. Where are you going to be in that line? There's only one theater showing Star Wars. Where are you going to be in that line? Some of you are thinking, I'm not going to go get in line. I don't want to stand in line to see that movie. I can appreciate that. I don't really want to, you know, go stand in line either. But that tells us something. That tells us where our commitment is. We're not really committed to going and standing in line and being in the line. But people who are, their commitment could sort of be weighed on where they are in line, right? Yeah, it could. So, think about this line being those who are following Jesus. There's people that are going to be walking with Jesus in their relationship with Him. They're going to be, as He says, where He says, take this yoke upon you, and they're going to be walking right there with Jesus. And just as we read about through the Gospels, there was, you know, this huge multitude of people. Well, there were people really close to Jesus, and then there were people a great distance away. I'm sort of following, I'm kind of at the end here. He's way up there, I guess I'm just going to turn and go another way. At what point does that have an impact on the commitment? We must be committed to God. And we know why we're committed to God, because God sent Jesus. He sent His Son. Paul tells us in Romans chapter 5, verses 6 and 8, he says very clearly, you see, at the right time, while we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. But God demonstrates His own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Why does God want us to be committed to Him? To go anywhere for Him? To do anything for Him? Because He did it first for us. We see how committed He is. How much love He has for each and every one of us. And how much love He has for the people that we visit with and associate with and are friends with and people of our family and our extended family. How much love He has for them. That's why we're to be so committed to God. But there's so many things that we're committed to, we're overcommitted. Whether it's stuff or activities or other priorities in our life, there's just so much stuff that gets in our way. Time, money, resources. We must be committed to God. And Scripture tells us that there are three ways that we can do that. The first, by renewing our mind. Paul says in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, he says, "Therefore, brothers, I urge you, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will." If we're going to be committed to God, then we need to be committed to renewing our mind every day. Because the world tries to transform us and tries to keep us, and Satan tries to keep us living out there, being of the world, thinking worldly, acting worldly. Selfishness run amok in our minds. Scripture tells us, be transformed by the renewing of your mind, something that continues to happen, so that we can be that better version of ourselves for our family, for our friends, for our coworkers, but more importantly, for the Lord. Because we know that the renewing of our mind, it enables us, because there's so much we're up against in the world. Because our fight is against sin. Ephesians 6, 10 and 12, Paul clearly comes forth and says, what's out there? What's against us? He says, be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil and his schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Being committed to God, we renew our mind. And we're committed to that fight against sin. Whether that sin is within our own lives, or whether it's impacting our families, or whether it's impacting our church, or whether it's impacting people around us. We're going to do everything we can so that we stand firm in God's power and in God's strength to fight that fight. And that verse that we already read of Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 4, he's encouraging them to throw off all of that sin, to throw off everything that entangles and everything that hinders. And he's talking about, he calls it what it is. He calls it sin. It trips you up in your race. It trips you up in your walk. It trips you up in your growth. It trips you up in being who God wants you to be. That better version of yourself. Not to serve worldly purposes, but to serve God's purposes. And if we're not showing this commitment in our lives, then it's real easy. It's real easy for sin to entangle us. It's real easy for Satan to trip us up. We must be committed to God to do His work. Titus 3 verse 8 says, "This is a trustworthy saying. I want you to stress these things so that those who have trusted in God may be careful to devote themselves to doing what is good. These things are excellent and are profitable for everyone." Committed to God to renew our minds, to fight against sin, and to do His work, to do good. Peter says it this way, "Live such good lives among the pagans that though they may accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day He visits us." Paul also says something in Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 11 and 12. He says, "Make your ambition to lead a quiet life, to mind your own business, to work with your hands, just as we told you, so that your daily life may win the respect of outsiders, and so that you will not be dependent on anybody." Committed to God by renewing our mind, by taking up the fight against sin, and for doing His work, for doing good. And thirdly, in order for us to receive God's increase, we must be connecting to His body. Humble, willing to serve, and with love. What's keeping us disconnected? What's keeping you disconnected from your church, from your youth group, from your family? Ask yourself, how can I be more involved? Is it a heart issue? Is it an opportunity issue? It's been said that for people who are new to a church family, that it's really important that they develop relationships with people within that church family if they're going to stick around, if they're going to be members for a long time. That's really important for young people, for people that are my age and even younger. Relationship becomes everything. People who they can be encouraged by, people that they can be mentored by, people that they can grow close to, people who they can be uplifted by. That becomes so important for those new people. And so, as a congregation, we have to see that that is a need. And we have to see that that becomes a huge opportunity for us to connect other people to the body of Christ. Because there are really opportunities everywhere. There are opportunities within our own family, with our own family unit, within our own church family, within the people that we interact with on a daily basis, whether that's at work, whether that's our kids or our grandkids. Opportunities everywhere to encourage, to worship, to sing, to speak, to teach, to lead, to have Bible studies with, to host people in our home. Scripture tells us that many of us have come together to form one body. Paul says it this way in Romans chapter 12, "For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself in sober judgment, in accordance with the faith that God has distributed to each of you. For just as each of us has one body with many members, these members do not all have the same function. So in Christ, we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophecy, then prophecy in accordance with your faith. If it's serving, then serve. If it's teaching, then teach. If it's to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it's to show mercy, do it cheerfully. We all, who are many, form one body. And this becomes hugely important when there's one member who's not connected. When there's one member of Christ's body who's not connected. And they come wanting to be connected to this body. We've all had similar experiences to that, where we have visited a congregation, and it becomes one of the things that we take away. Sometimes when we go and visit a congregation, we're just wanting to experience that. Feeling welcomed, feeling loved, feeling encouraged, having someone shake our hand, having someone invite us to come sit with them, having someone to be our host. Because when we miss that, we go away remembering that. Going, well, they just weren't very hospitable. They just weren't very caring. No one greeted me. I stood in the foyer forever and I just looked around and no one came up to me and greeted me, helped me find where I needed to go. Those are opportunities. Those are opportunities for all of us to help others connect to His body. And that's what we must be doing. In Ephesians 5, several verses here. Christ is the head of the church, His body, of which He is the Savior. The church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to their husbands in everything. Christ loved the church and gave Himself up for her, to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with the water through the Word, and to present her to Himself as a radiant church, without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. No one ever hated their own body, but they fed and cared for their own body, just as Christ does the church. We are members of His body. We see just how significant and how important the body is to Christ, and what He is willing to do to make sure that she's loved, to make sure that she's cared for. And as members of that body, we need to be reflecting that love, reflecting that care. We must be connecting to His body. And the result of these things should produce within us someone who follows Christ, someone who's reflecting Christ, with a humble spirit, with a heart to serve, and with love, not only for Christ and His body, but for one another. If you say to receive God's increase, we must focus on Christ with our eyes, with our heart, with our mind. We must commit to God, renewing our mind, the fight against sin, and doing His good. And to receive God's increase, we must connect to His body, to the church, and we must be connecting others to it as well. And you may be sitting there thinking, well, that's great, Chris. How am I supposed to do that? I've got one suggestion. Just one. And that's have a conversation. Have one conversation this next week with your mind focused on Christ, with your heart committed to Him, and with every part of you being reconnected or being connected to His body. Have a conversation. And maybe that conversation is with God, knowing about the things that you know you should be doing, but you haven't been paying any attention to. Or whether that's, you know, I need to step out of my comfort zone. And I need to say some things to my kids. I need to say some things to my grandkids. There are conversations I need to have with my coworker. And I want to be that lens in which they see God's goodness. They see God's love. And they see Jesus Christ. I want them to see that. I want them to see that in you. So this week, go have that one conversation. And may you be focused on Christ. May you be committed to Him. And may you be connected to His body. Allow God to give you the increase. If you have any need tonight, won't you please come while we stand and while we sing.